So I was doing my civic duty, right?
Okay.
I was, primary elections are in August for Michigan. I got my absentee ballot the other day.
Oh, for real?
So I was filling it out.
I got my form in the mail that was, I could request my absentee ballot.
There you go. Got to do that at least 2 weeks before so you can send it back on time or you drop it to ballot drop box in front of your clerk's office.
Facts.
But I was filling out my absentee ballot, right? I was deciding who I was going to vote for. Most of the people I knew, like top of the ticket, you know, like you got our guy Dan Kildee running for office.
Yeah.
You got Gretchen Whitmer at the top for Michigan. Of course, I'm voting in the Democratic primary. Got to choose a progressive.
Got to.
And I'm doing a little bit of research for each of the ones down towards the bottom of the ballot because I don't know all of them, right?
Yeah.
These names aren't really known to me.
Naturally.
And I get to like one of the lowest spots. I was like some county commissioner, something like that. And there's two people. Okay.
Oh.
The first one is the incumbent. I'm looking him up. Seems pretty normal. Not necessarily like a progressive guy. You're run-of-the-mill Democrat. You know, wants to support working families. Wants to raise taxes to pay for like public infrastructure, that kind of thing. Right?
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, whatever. Just
and then
guy.
I go to the second person.
No.
And also, again, on the Democratic ticket, it's a primary.
No.
And I look up this girl, and she is saying that she's a Democrat, but in the interviews I could find with her in like local news stations. Her main argument against the incumbent not getting reelected was that he, during the month of June, had pride flags that hung over top of the Blue Lives Matter flags.
You're fucking
lying. And she
said,
we need to support our police officers. And he was, like, I don't know, giving shame to the police officers.
You're by lying
pride flags
after
up.
Uvalde?
Instead of thin blue line flags.
It is, like, one of the most optically bad times to be a cop supporter right now.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. It's always bad. But optically, it's very bad to be a cop supporter like that right now. It's like she's doing what we said that we should do in Republican primaries.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
How we should just go undercover. She's just doing that.
Right,
but
like,
for the losing side.
It's like she's not even undercover. Like, this is just like you're just a Republican. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's running as a Democrat. And this was the case with some other office that I was voting for, too. I think, like, state senator or something.
Okay.
One of the guys was just straight up saying, like, yeah, we need to push back against Biden and adhere to the free market. It's like some of the people running for state and local offices, even on the Democratic side of the ticket, are so unnecessarily reactive and reactionary and just pro-police, like pro-fucking over poor people.
That's
it's
crazy.
Insane.
Have you seen, I'm sure you've seen it, it's literally comes up every other YouTube ad for me. It's the sheriff from, I think, Shiawassee County, who's running. I can't remember what office he's for, but his whole thing is just back in veterans, back in police,
and back in
guns. That shit is so funny, dude. I can't remember like where exactly he's from, but it's like, oh my God.
And the amount of Republican mail I've gotten is disgusting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just so many like traditional conservative. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's because I've watched so many like Tucker clips on YouTube to prepare for the pod, obviously, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So many of those that I strictly get ads for like Republican candidates mm-hmm. in state and local offices. The worst ones. The
I love it,
most hyper reactionary seats.
Yeah. I bring this up. One, to remind you to do your civic duty. You probably got primaries
naturally
coming up, get ready for
to.
November, all that kind of good stuff. But also, like, even people running in Democratic offices are just terrible sometimes. Like, make sure you look up who you are voting for, because in primaries, especially local primaries, your vote really does matter there.
Big facts.
And you don't want to elect somebody that's just going to give, you know, 60% of your budget to the police.
And it's like, depending how local you go, a lot of those seats, if you want to get involved, a lot of those seats run unchallenged.
Take
you
em.
Know what I'm saying? You could literally just get it.
Yeah.
Just sign up the last day. Bam.
Next time around, you know, these the ability for you to sign up to be on the ballot closes like around April-ish time.
Yeah.
So next time around, 2024, maybe you could steal somebody's seat on county commission.
I'm pretty sure there's a Snapchat tool that you can use. Like, there's like, no,
awesome.
Like, I'm not even kidding. There's a Snapchat filter or something that literally just, you put in your zip code and it shows you all of the races that are coming up and if they are unchallenged or not.
That's awesome. Yeah, challenge them.
Wild. Challenge them. Go for it.
Especially in the primaries. Get the old Democrats that are basically Republicans.
Facts. Facts.
Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. Do we got a loaded show for you today?
We do, but you
we
know what's not loaded? You know what's not loaded?
What's not loaded?
The 5-star reviews.
That's what I'm saying.
Ridiculous.
Dog. We got 0 5-star reviews to read today, and that's heartbreaking.
That hurts me.
That is like,
that saddens
that's
me.
Honestly, like, that is a moral condemnation of your character, individual listener. Like, I know you're probably like listening in your earbuds right now, watching on YouTube, whatever it may be. This is your fault.
Yeah.
We're
probably think
you.
You're a good person. Yeah. Have the right beliefs. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Be better. Anyway, no 5-star reviews today, but I will remind you. I will remind you to go get some merch at headintheoffice.com. It is still available. Get in while supplies last. It's flying off the shelves, people.
Big facts.
It's flying off the shelves. Also, make sure to check us out on Patreon, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Join our Discord. Check out Hitto Extras. Going live in like a few hours. Not that it'll matter for any of you,
but it happens. We do it sometimes.
But we do it.
Hit the Instagram to get the notifications.
Absolutely. So this week, we got to talk about some crazy legislation I found while searching the broadcast, the news waves past week. We got some international news, some geopolitics for people, and we got some beyond parody stories. So a little bit of everything this week.
A little bit of awful, a little bit of less awful. Not a whole lot of good, though.
Yeah, not a whole lot of good.
You know how we roll.
But before we get into all that, I think Gage has got an update for us on a little abortion case.
I do. On a little abortion case that we've been following for the last couple weeks. I'm sure you've all heard of the 10-year-old girl from Ohio that couldn't get an abortion there because their new law. So she had to travel to Indiana to successfully get her abortion. The GOP has just sunken their teeth into this one. I don't know why. It's got to be like a sunk cost fallacy thing for them. Because why would this be the one that you try to defend?
I don't know. I mean, I think, and you might have it in here, but it was revealed that the dude might have been an immigrant. And I think that's why they sunk their teeth into it.
But they were doing it before, though.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the whole thing before was, like, them condemning abortion, right?
Right.
And then, even after that, they just straight up were claiming the story was fake, which I didn't know until I started looking it up more. Like, for weeks, they were just saying that this isn't real, this isn't something that can happen, because, you know, they don't understand biology, much like the trans debate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and for anyone that maybe, like, may have lost the plot here a little bit, you may be a little bit confused, Joe Biden had brought up the case of a 10-year-old girl being raped and wanting to get an abortion, having to leave Ohio and go to Indiana. Yeah. He talked about that case specifically during a speech when he was signing an executive order. And since then, Republicans have just been like, you're lying.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, this doesn't happen or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So they just straight up said that the whole case was fake, right?
Right.
And then once it came out that, no, this case is very fucking real, like just demonstrably real, it couldn't be wrong in any way, they immediately pivoted to the doctor, and they said that the doctor, maybe they might have failed to do their obligations and report this, like you're supposed to under Indiana law. You have to report every, like, abortion, just medical bookkeeping, whatever. And then it came out that, yeah, actually, the doctor did report it on time. So they immediately pivoted to talking about how this guy was an immigrant and blaming open border policies because Biden's border is so much more open than Trump's was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're statistically more likely to be raped by, like, a native-born American.
Native-born Texan.
Or native-born Texan. Is that the statistic?
I think so.
If you live in Texas. But, like, him being an immigrant has nothing to do with this. And they know it has nothing to do with this. Those are two entirely separate issues.
Yeah. And then after, like, people weren't really biting on the immigrant thing, because I saw him talk about it for, like, 2 days, the Indiana Attorney General, in another case of state attorney generals just being the most awful people on the fucking planet, decided to go on Fox News, and for 2 minutes, he just started railing against the doctor that did the abortion,
saying that
he's going to be investigating her license, saying that she might not have reported it in, like, a timely manner, even though we already know she did report it. Like, you can see it. Like, you can Google it yourself right now. And also coming for, like, something else, saying that she might have violated HIPAA, even though she's not the one who's been blasting this all over the news. As you, my guy.
Bro, attorney generals are just so unnecessarily evil now.
Like, for what? What?
Like, attorney generals have never been in the news headlines this much. But this year, they have just been going fucking nuts. Arizona attorney general pushing to kill somebody that's innocent. Texas attorney general saying he will prosecute people under sodomy laws if he gets the chance.
Indiana
attorney general targeting doctors for helping a 10-year-old girl.
For doing their job. Because abortion is legal in Indiana up until, I think, 22 weeks.
Okay.
So where the fuck is this coming from? What are you doing? What are you trying to do? Is he gearing up to run for, like, governor?
I don't know. Probably.
These fucking attorney generals are unhinged.
Yeah, and it's like, let me be clear. They're only bringing up the fact that this the person, the rapist, was an immigrant because somehow in the minds of Republican voters, that becomes the prominent thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they somehow forget that some girl was a victim of a rape and now wants an abortion because, one, 10-year-old's bodies are not prepared to carry a baby to term. That will probably kill you.
Oh, yeah.
And two, you just shouldn't be forced to carry a rapist baby to term, even if you're older than
10 years old. No matter
what. No matter than what. And they just want to bring up that he's an immigrant as a way to oscillate between issues and act as though it's Joe Biden's fault that this happened. When we're not even, when we, and by the way, like when we're talking about issues of rape and we're talking about people getting abortions after they're raped, we aren't really critiquing what causes those rapes to happen. You know what I mean? Like that's separate a separate issue. Exactly. It's a separate issue. But the issue at hand when it comes to abortion is a woman allowed to get an abortion in the case that she is raped?
Yeah.
Not how do we reduce rape numbers? Two separate issues. Both need to be dealt with. Two separate issues, though.
Yeah.
Republicans, they like to lie and deceive you, though. So.
But it's just like at the root of this whole case, why is the GOP trying so fucking hard to defend this?
Yeah.
This is the most indefensible situation that you can fathom. If somebody wrote this and put it in like this exact like thing that happened in real life and put it in like a political drama, like if this appeared as a subplot in The West Wing, I'd be like, that's kind of corny. This is a little on the nose. What the fuck?
Dog, yeah.
Like reality is stranger than fiction. Bro, it's life, ridiculous.
Life imitates art.
It's like it's like the perfect microcosm for the conservative strategy. You know, it's lie, deny, deflect.
Well, I think part of it is that culturally they have to keep upping the ante and they can't ever back down without looking weak now.
Oh yeah,
because they've pushed it so far. Like maybe a Republican Party 10 years ago could have said like, yeah, we're against Roe v. Wade, but abortions in some circumstances are okay.
Yeah.
But they've upped the ante so much and demanded so much from their voters that now if they back down on anything, medical exemptions, rape, incest, whatever it is, they look like they're weak.
Oh yes, yeah,
because they've said that once a child is conceived at the point of conception, that is a human life.
Yeah,
and if that is your idea, if you've assigned moral worth to that clump of cells, there is no justification ever for killing it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's explicitly because they say that abortion is murder no matter what, that they can't, they have to sink their teeth into all this shit. But it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Like, the mental gymnastics.
Like, okay, you may think if you're a conservative or you're just a pro-lifer in general, you may think that it's an honorable value to hold that you think life begins at conception, right? Mm-hmm. You think everyone deserves a chance at life. But look at the outcomes it produces.
Thanks.
Like, a 10-year-old girl is raped and has to go through with the pregnancy? Like, I'm sorry,
that's bad,
dog,
for no everybody
matter,
involved.
Yeah, no matter how noble you think the conception, the idea of conception you have in your mind, no matter how noble you think that is, I mean, come on, dog. This is fucking brutality.
Yeah.
This is barbarism. You
it's
know
like,
what I mean?
For as much as conservatives talk about liberals being, like, especially academics, being these ivory tower people who don't care about, like, the working man, that's what they are in this instance. They're sitting in their ivory towers, far removed from any of the material consequences that these actions have, that this type of legislation has, just telling people what they have to do, controlling their bodies from up high. It's ridiculous.
You know what I saw was another Republican argument they're offering?
God.
I think it was, they were doing some hearing on abortion in the House. I think it was the House.
Yeah, because didn't the House just vote to, like, codify Roe?
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
The House voted to codify Roe v. Wade, and they were doing some hearing with some representative from a pro-life organization. And one representative was grilling her, specifically brought up this 10-year-old case. And the woman that's representing the pro-life organization,
I saw this.
She said, well, it's not an abortion in this case.
Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
She said, in this instance, because it was a rape, it isn't considered an abortion. No.
Yeah.
It is literally, scientifically, that's what an abortion is.
No, facts.
You don't get to just, like, make a carve-out for yourself when it would look extremely brutal for you to not offer an abortion in that instance.
This
is what your ideology necessitates.
If it's justified, then it's not an abortion.
Right.
If I deem it not to be an abortion, it's not an abortion. It's just how, like, when you talk to people about how, oh, the treatment for a miscarriage for a septic uterus is an abortion, they say, no, that's not an abortion, though.
Right.
It's like, no. It is.
Yeah.
Talk to a doctor.
It's almost like they like to play fast and loose with terms until it comes to their idea that life begins at conception, and then there's just no budging. And that, in fact, justifies, like, you know, forcing a child to give
birth. They're coming at you and there's a pro-choicer on the stand and they say, well, what if a baby's halfway out of birthing the canal, huh? Can you get an abortion then? What if everything of the baby is out except the toe? Can you abort it then?
That's ever fucking happened.
As if there isn't another word for that. Infanticide.
Yeah. Like, also, there was some case, I think, in Texas of some pregnant woman driving in the carpool lane on the highway.
Oh,
and she got pulled over and ticketed for being the only one in the vehicle. And you start to realize, like, not only is this a philosophical question of, like, does someone have the right to bodily autonomy? Does the right to life supersede that right to bodily autonomy, et cetera? But also there's important legal questions now. Because if that person, if that, you know, fetus inside of the mother is considered a person, then can she do things like drive in the carpool lane? Or more importantly, can she be jailed? Can that baby have due process?
Or
can she be deported because that child might have been conceived on U.S. soil?
Or are you going to have to, you know, offer a second, like, sort of citizenship to things in the womb, which would mean that they don't have the same rights as people outside of the womb?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's interesting how all of your constitutional, state, and local rights unlock once you can occupy another seat in a car on your own.
Crazy
how. Separate from someone else's body.
Crazy how personhood isn't just a philosophical distinction, it's also a legal one. Wow.
Yeah.
Who would have thought your actions
and blurring the lines between what is and what isn't murder, it's almost like that causes a lot of complications in how we perceive morality and how we enforce the law against people. Crazy.
Wild.
Crazy that you can't take out a life insurance policy on a fetus that is growing inside of you because it's not considered a full person. But you can't abort that fetus because it is considered a full person.
Neither are people with pre-existing conditions. That shit is crazy. If you have a pre-existing condition, I can't get a fucking life insurance policy because I didn't take one out before I got disabled. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Anyways, I think it's time
to some legislation talk.
Time to talk about some legislation.
I love the law.
We got some big things in the news this week.
Okay, I missed them all.
Yeah,
this is news to me.
First thing, a defense bill was proposed and passed by the House last Thursday. The House voted to approve $839 billion in a bipartisan defense spending bill.
Isn't that more than they approved like 6 months ago?
I was about to say, this is the second year in a row that the House has acted bipartisanly to endorse Joe Biden's military spending plan. And not only did they endorse his plan, but they also provided $37 billion more dollars than the Biden and the Pentagon asked for.
Why?
Good question, Doug.
For what?
This happens for no other program. This happens for no other policy
agenda. Every other program gets less money. Strictly less money than they ask for.
Like, Biden's asking for money on vaccines,
child tax credit.
The IRS.
The FDA.
It goes on and on. He gets less than what he asks for. He's got to make do with less than what he asks for. But when he's asking for defense spending, we'll just give you $37 billion more than you want.
Oh, we found $37 billion.
Don't worry about the debt, though.
Don't worry about any of that.
So the bill passed in the House 316 to 113, and it provides funding for just about everything you could think of. Okay. Fighter jets, more ships, specifically from Politico. I have a quote here. Quote, the bill authorizes 13 new warships, adding 5 ships that the Navy didn't request.
What?
The bill also authorizes 64 F-3 fighter jets, 3 more than the Pentagon sought across the military services. Lawmakers approved $354 million to procure 3 more F-35C carrier jets for the Navy.
I was just about to make a fucking joke about the F-35s. Like, the money's probably going to the F-35s that make you throw up when you fucking spin up the engines. That's... You're kidding.
Like, 5 ships that the Navy just didn't ask
for?
Isn't
the F-35... I could be wildly fucking wrong on this. I know it's way over budget. Isn't it, like, $20 billion over budget? Like, the project to develop them?
Probably.
Insane.
I know, F-30... Isn't that, like one of the best fighter jets in the world or whatever?
I don't even think it fucking works yet.
Oh, cool.
I don't think it works. I know that, like, for a while when they turned the engines on, it made everyone in the media's vicinity fucking throw up.
That's awesome.
It's been a horrible disaster. So over budget. It's like $1 billion for each one.
Yeah, we should dedicate millions and billions of dollars more to that project.
$1 billion for, like, one fighter jet, right? Healthcare? No.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Student debt? Like, no, we can't have that. Can't have that. And the kicker here, and the reason that I think this is so important, because defense bills pass all the time, every single year.
Yeah.
It's always a bipartisan
thing. Never not going to.
But the reason I bring this up, the reason I think it's interesting, because only 38 Democrats voted no. Your usual suspects, the progressives,
exactly.
Right? But 75 Republicans voted no. More Republicans voted no than Democrats voted no. Someone explain that shit to me. Because I know it's not, like, Republicans having, like, a nuanced anti-war stance. You know what I mean?
guys, we're ramping up, we're escalating with China right now. We need to be, we need to be pushing the brakes on that and worry about diplomatic relations. Now, is there like money going to Ukraine?
Probably.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Is it because there's like $50 billion going to Ukraine or some shit?
There's probably something in there going to Ukraine, which is the point I was going to make, because I'm pretty sure this is more of an anti-Biden stance than a anti-war stance.
That's lit. Yeah.
It's not actually, because like if Donald Trump was passing a defense bill, they would all vote for it unanimously.
Flying colors.
Care. They just want to make it seem as though they actually have some contrast with Joe Biden and he's not just doing everything that they agree with. You know what I mean?
They need to make it look like Joe Biden's doing bad things that they don't agree with, even though nobody fucking pays attention to how they vote, as we saw with the baby formula shortage.
Yeah, it's just such a fucking, a massive failure of the Democratic Party that only 38 members voted no. Like more Republicans are voting no than Democrats on a defense bill.
Bill. Blows my mind.
Meanwhile, Democrats are like trying to make appeals that like we need to dedicate funding to a child tax credit, abortion funding, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how can we make these arguments and also just send billions of dollars off to the military that doesn't need it?
But like the fact that there's $38 billion extra dollars, you know, fucking Kevin McCarthy's just gonna say we're deficit hawks.
Yeah,
he's just gonna do the deficit hawk thing again and again and again.
Yeah,
and then when it gets to the Senate, what the fuck is his name? Rand Paul is just gonna vote no against it just cause.
Yeah, just to look principled.
Just to look principled as a libertarian.
Yeah, exactly. And like some other stuff was tacked onto the bill as well. Apparently, somebody got an amendment on that. Reduces or limits the sentencing disparity between crack and cocaine. So that's interesting.
Oh, is it the one that how fucking one of my friends in Students for Sensible Drug Policy was actually meeting with representatives to talk about this? Was it the one that reduces it from I think it's like, fuck, I can't remember, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it was Hakeem Jeffries. I think he's just one of the more progressive people in the House, had that amendment tacked on. And then also there's a provision that makes it so all federal contractors get a minimum wage of $15.
That's nice. I thought that was already a thing.
I think it was like an executive order, but now it's codified. So
that's
always going to be a thing now.
That's fire.
I can only imagine that the sentencing thing between crack and cocaine is going to get stripped in the Senate.
Oh, probably.
But I guess it's in there for now.
I know. It's funny.
The only way we can get anything good done is if it means billions of dollars are going to the military.
In one of the talks one of my friends had with like an actual powerful person who can get legislation passed, they were arguing with them because the person in power, I wish I knew their fucking name so I could call them out, said, well, actually, why don't we raise the crack one? Or why don't we raise the cocaine one?
And
meet them in the middle, you know?
Right.
No.
It's like, I know, you know, sentencing disparities have been used to imprison black people at disproportionate amounts, but what if we imprisoned
white people more?
What if we imprisoned a proportionate amount of white people?
What if we bumped those numbers up real quick?
Sounds like a good solution to me.
That's what I think.
Anyway, just another case of our government spending more and more money on the military, and you don't get free college. Because that is free college, people. Free college is not that expensive.
An extra $38 billion.
Uh-huh.
$38 billion.
It's like we could cut our military budget in half and still have the largest military in the world.
Yeah.
Like, come on now. And like our military budget is bigger than what? The next 8 countries combined. Most of them are allies.
Yeah.
Like the second biggest army in the world is China.
Uh-huh.
It's like, come on, man.
It's ridiculous. It's something fierce.
Yeah.
Like, there's no need for that.
You don't get free college, you don't get free healthcare, you don't get free childcare.
But the Navy, 5 extra boats, baby.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is literally free college. If you Google how much would it cost to do free college, the first link that pops up is educationdata.org, an organization. A first dollar tuition-free program would cost $58 billion the year it's implemented. Over an 11-year time frame, a first dollar tuition-free program would cost a total of $800 billion. The cheapest free college program, the last dollar tuition-free program, would cost $28 billion the year it's implemented. $800 billion for free college for 11 fucking years. That is 1 year of the military budget.
Yeah, the cost would decrease over time because people wouldn't keep going into debt.
Exactly.
Like, once we get rid of, like, the debt's going to be the biggest hurdle to tackle right now is getting rid of, because, you know, we have like $1.7 trillion in student debt. But if once we get rid of that and college is just made free, you know, government money is dedicated towards things like, you know, promoting or not promoting universities, but like, you know, paying teachers, paying for facilities and stuff like that, and not so much money is dedicated towards promotion and marketing, then suddenly paying for universities is not that much for the government, and it's free for people.
Exactly.
And that means we have a more educated workforce, which is good for the economy, by the way.
And once you fucking rein in administrative costs,
you
know,
maybe
that's
stop
something.
Fucking, you know, buying administrators Teslas and having them live on campus in multi-million
mansions. mansions. Yeah. Insane McMansions.
Maybe they can fucking live in a dorm building like the rest of us.
Facts. Yeah. Maybe they can share a fucking room with yeah. no bathroom and have to use a key to go down the hall to share a bathroom with a bunch of teenage boys.
Anyway, as a part of this defense bill, there's an interesting amendment that was proposed.
Another one.
Another one. But okay. this one I want to focus a little bit more on.
All right.
So there was an amendment proposed by Representative Brad Schneider from Illinois. And the amendment to the bill was that, quote, it would compel, quote, the government officials to prepare a report on instances of white supremacy and neo-Nazi activity in uniformed services and federal law enforcement.
I saw that. I got struck down.
Well, no. It passed. But basically what this does
oh, really?
Is it makes the FBI, Homeland Security, and DOD analyze their ranks for white supremacy behavior.
Yeah.
So specifically like looking at people that are discharged from those institutions, from those organizations.
Okay.
And if they were fired for like, you know, white supremacist behavior, what their background was, how they got hired, that kind of thing, to avoid it in
yeah,
the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to produce a report for congressional committees each year about how that investigation went and how they're going to prevent white supremacists from getting into the FBI, DOD, et cetera, later on.
Okay.
Right? It seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about on this show, white supremacists and Nazis being in law enforcement.
Absolutely.
A couple of episodes ago, we talked about just an actual Nazi being a police officer. Like, it's important to fight back against these, especially because Trump's White House, his Department of Justice, established when he was still president that mm-hmm. the biggest terror threat to the United States was white supremacist domestic terrorism.
Insane.
So it's good
so
that
it
we'd
passed.
Be able to analyze these things.
It went through?
It did pass.
Oh, was it just that all the conservatives voted against
it? It did pass, but 208 Republicans voted against it. Something that would go to just investigate white supremacy and neo-Nazism within the ranks of the government was opposed by the Republican Party.
And it's just like, the state of American political discourse right now, within their base, no Republican is going to see that
right.
and think, that's kind of weird that they voted against that. Why would you not want that? They're going to see it through the lens of, oh, they're just wasting money on this fucking witch hunt that's going to go through and just crowd up. They're adding more bureaucracy. It's a witch hunt. All these liberal people. Nobody's racist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have a black friend.
Mm-hmm.
I dated
mm-hmm.
a black girl in high school.
Yeah, and it's like, well, like, I know a lot of their base isn't going to care because they're just going to be like, well, yeah, there's no more racism. This is just a part of the witch hunt.
Yeah.
You know, they're just lying so that they can get good conservatives out of those agencies as mm-hmm. if it's not entirely.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, oh, they're just going to call you a racist for being a conservative.
Right, right. But like amongst the Republicans that voted no, what actual reason could you possibly have besides I want to keep white supremacists in government, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, they know. They're not the ones being indoctrinated by the messaging scheme. Like, unless you're Madison Cawthorn, you know what, like, the messaging, like, you know you're lying.
Unless you're the new generation of, like, young Republicans. You're not principled.
Like, and Republicans were saying that this attempts to solve a problem that doesn't exist, but like I said, under Trump's DOJ, they said that white supremacy and far-right extremist groups are the biggest domestic terror threat. Why would you not want, if that is the biggest domestic terror threat, why would you not want the agencies investigating those domestic terror threats to not be composed of those types of people? Because if it is, they won't investigate them and domestic terror will happen.
Maybe that'd make too much sense.
Yeah,
Maybe that'd provide the ability for organizations like the FBI to actually enforce red flag laws on shooters, like the manifesto shooters, and actually do something to stop these things, you know?
Well, Republicans don't want that, though, because they want you to literally die.
On God.
They need something to campaign on, right?
On God, put that on me.
For real. For real. I have a quote from The Hill, though, on another similar amendment that has to do with the FBI and stuff.
Okay.
They said, quote, the House on Wednesday adopted a separate amendment to the NDAA, which is just the bill they were voting on, that compels the Government Accountability Office to write a report that reviews how the FBI, DHS Secretary, and Office of Director of National Intelligence are complying with, quote, domestic terrorism transparency mechanisms that are mandated by federal law. 205 Republicans voted no to this. All this did was ensure that the FBI and similar agencies are enforcing anti-terrorism mechanisms.
So literally the red flag laws. It's
right,
like literally the issue we've seen countless times with these huge high-profile mass shootings, the school ones specifically,
mm-hmm.
where a shooter has red flags on file. They still get to go and buy a gun because nobody enforces those red flags. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be fucking shitting me right now.
And like Republicans, maybe they don't do this as much as they used to, but I know under Donald Trump, they would be the ones that are always crying about terrorism.
Absolutely.
Always crying about the threat of terrorism. But then when it comes time...
Only when it's brown terrorism.
Right, though. Right. When it comes time to vote on measures that would reduce terrorism or go to root out terrorism, they vote no. Uh-huh. Like, both of these measures passed. Both of them are going to be sent to the Senate to be voted on. But, like, Republicans in the House just fucking voted no. What's the point? Like, you can't say you're against it. Like, that's just pro-terrorism. You know what I mean? It's fucking ridiculous, dog.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, and I have another astonishing vote here. Just Republicans wanting you to die.
Three for three.
So last Wednesday, the House passed another bill, a separate bill, called the Active Shooter Alert Act.
Okay.
And this creates a communications network for notifying community members of active
like
shooters.
It's like the Amber Alert thing.
Right. It's supporters have said it's going to be just like Amber Alert, but instead it's going to be for active shooters.
Yeah.
Supporters also say it's a good tool for law enforcement, since law enforcement currently has no like centralized way to get info out to everybody immediately about mass shootings. They kind of just have to rely on you paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
Which some people might not do. So this
which
is a good
isn't
going to
happen. You're not going to get a notification on your phone.
What do you mean?
Like
now?
Just in general right now, yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get a CNN notification as soon as it breaks out. You're not going to get your local news notification, yeah.
And, you know, this seems like only a good thing, right? Like
strictly.
Like an Amber Alert system that would be used for mass shootings. Like in a country that's not doing anything about gun reform, not doing anything about taking people's guns away and making the streets more safe, it seems like this is a good idea, right?
Especially when we have the existing infrastructure. Yeah. We have the Amber Alert system in place. Right now.
Well, we all may think this is good, but 169 Republicans didn't think so, and they voted against the measure, apparently being urged by party leadership to vote no. So, Kevin McCarthy.
Dude, for why? How would this hurt your NRA scorecard? I'm sure it will hurt their NRA scorecards to people who voted yes, but fucking why? Like, this isn't in any way anti-Second Amendment.
Yeah.
This isn't in any way taking away your guns.
Mm-hmm. It's a public safety measure. Like, this is that, like, supporters had literally said it would make it easier for cops. The Fraternal Order of the Police or whatever it is endorsed this bill. So it was supported by police. It informs the public quickly, and it doesn't do anything about restricting guns. Yet almost much more than a majority of the House Republicans voted no. And for what?
Well, if they were principled, the three principal ones had to have been thinking, oh, this is going to make Americans more aware of gun violence.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's the only negative that could happen from this, from the NRA's standpoint, is now Americans will be more aware of the rampant gun violence.
I think you're right on the money, because I have a quote from Chip Roy, who's a Republican from Texas.
Okay.
He said, quote, another example of Washington creating another department, another position, spending more money we don't have in order to have a public policy objective of continuing to advance fear among the American people.
Oh my fucking
god.
So
it's literally
oh my god,
we just need to not pay attention. Like, I just need to look away and maybe it'll stop.
What the fuck?
Like, what do you mean advancing fear? These happen so often that, like, everyone's afraid, my guy.
One has happened every fucking 2 weeks for, like, the last 3 months. High-profile ones, too.
Yeah.
Outside of the ones, like, 3 weeks ago, we talked about it, because just hot topic. Mm-hmm. Like, in Chattanooga, like, 7 people were shot, 3 people were killed. There were 3 that weekend, one at, like, a fucking quinceañera or something.
Right, like, it's better to be informed than ignorant, especially on mass shootings where, you know, like, people could die. This is the type of motherfucker that's like, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor because what if they tell me I have something wrong with me?
Yeah.
Like, something's already wrong with you, my guy. The doctor's just going to diagnose you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's better to be aware. And, like, the only common sense objection to this could be, like, the alert system's going to go off too often.
It's going to be annoying.
Yeah, like, that's the only common sense objection.
They're like, guys, think about when you get an Amber Alert. Kind of fucking annoying, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, like, apparently even Google Maps now has mass shooting trackers on it. Like, it's a fucking road collision.
Insane.
But it says mass shooting. Like, this happens so often in this country. The least we can do is inform the public quickly. But even Republicans are against that.
The infrastructure is there. This can't cost a shit ton of money.
No.
This can't cost more than the $38 billion we just gave the military for no fucking reason.
No, yeah, and, like, the bill also, it does create, like, a small task force to, like, monitor this and then make a report after a year to see, like, how it's been doing, who it's informed, that kind of thing, like, if it's functioning well. But, like, that's not going to cost that much money.
No.
That's, like, an extra office and, like, 3 extra people you're employing.
It's not
to
even an
this.
Office. It's, like, an extra 3 cubicles.
Right.
Like, come on now.
Yeah.
It's just a detachment of the NSA or whatever the fuck.
Right.
Come on,
the least we can do. The least we can do is inform people when they're about to, you know, be inside of a mansion.
When they're about to drive into, when they're about to go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
When they're about to go to school. That's a big one. That's a big one recently.
And when this bill was being proposed, some people were saying, proponents of the bill were saying that in shootings like the one that happened in Highland Park in Illinois mm-hmm. that we talked about last week, a lot of people could have benefited from having that kind of system because then they would have known to like run to another street, run into an alley, take cover or whatever.
A lot of people thought it was fireworks, didn't they?
Yeah, but they couldn't have known. Right? That's it's 4th of July. They couldn't have known.
Now, no, like, annoying white kids could be like, well, I guess once it passes, no annoying white kids can be like, oh, those fireworks are gunshots.
Right. Yeah. You'll get an alert. You'll know.
You'll get an alert. You don't need to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. But just another example of Republicans wanting you to literally die. But they also don't want you to know about you being close to death.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
And before we get into this last bit, because we're about to get onto some stuff that isn't going to pass.
Okay.
I want to do some honorable mentions real quick for legislation. So first, like as we already mentioned, the House passed a bill to codify Roe. Wow. So that's all right. I guess we'll see what happens.
Oh, no. Is it going to pass in the Senate? Who knows?
AOC said she's introducing bills to codify Lawrence Griswold and Obergefell, which they probably won't go on to pass in the Senate. But it is good to get Republicans on the record voting against things like gay marriage, sex freedom, and access to contraception.
Because that would be crazy.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Well, I mean, like, we said it'd be crazy if Roe v. Wade is overturned. We said it'd be crazy if you just didn't have Fourth Amendment rights anymore if you're within 100 miles of the border. Like,
so true. We said it'd be crazy if state legislatures could do whatever the fuck they want, and come September, they probably will be able to.
Right,
so.
Right. AOC is also introducing a bill to restore the EPA's power to regulate CO2.
God.
So it's going to be undoing whatever that decision was that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Why should the only one actually out here doing anything? Like any Democrat could have introduced that. Yeah. That's not a fucking like leftist policy.
And then Ted Cruz also said recently in his little show, The Verdict, he said that the Supreme Court was wrong on Obergefell. What reason could you have to say that other than you just hate gay people? Because, like, if you watch the clip, you could probably find it pretty easily.
Uh-huh.
He was literally just saying, like, yeah, the Supreme Court was wrong on Obergefell. And then some person asked why, and he was like, well, they basically said all the states have to let gay people marry.
States' rights. That's not in the Constitution. Right. The 10th Amendment clearly says that if it's not in the Constitution, that's a state power, baby.
Like, I don't give a fuck. If something was decided on, like, shaky legal ground, if it's expanding your civil rights, I'm all right with it.
It's just a good thing.
Right.
It's just a good thing. Like, I think as a society, we can collectively hand wave these things away.
Right.
We can be like, you know what? Here's a little exception.
Right. And, like yeah, maybe it was on, I've heard arguments that even, like, Roe was on shaky legal ground being protected by privacy.
That was the big one, was that Roe was the one that was on shaky ground.
Right. And that set up the precedent for all of these, obviously.
God.
But, like, it should have been laws. The truth is that the Congress didn't have the ability to do it because too many fucking conservative cycles wouldn't have let it happen. Still the same today. And if we want civil rights to be protected, sometimes we got to accept things being on shaky legal ground, but also accepting that these are important civil rights that are the cornerstone of our American democracy, because I thought we liked freedom. But apparently Ted Cruz doesn't want you to be married.
Especially something like gay marriage. Like, dog,
right.
Come on. You're really going to tell me that there was any ounce of material harm that could have possibly came from gay people being able to marry each other?
Right. What's Dave Rubin got to say about this? You know what I'm saying? What's Christian Walker got to say about this? Because, like, they're being directly, this is their rights on the line now. No, literally. You know what I mean?
It's like there was a Republican convention in Texas a couple weeks ago. We didn't cover it, but there was a organization of gay Republicans that were mad that they weren't invited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dog, they tell you straight up, how did you not? Like, it took you this long to realize that maybe they don't like you?
Yeah, it's been on the party platform since, like, 2016, my guy.
Especially in the Texas party platform. That shit is vile.
Like, Texas still has sodomy laws on the books. They already have anti-abortion laws on the books. And they probably still have anti-gay marriage laws. Like, at what point, sodomy laws as well, like, at what point does it just become illegal to be gay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
Like this is a genocide. Like, I know that it's not, like, the direct killing of gay people, but if you are criminalizing every act that is associated with being a gay person or a member of the LGBTQ, because they're coming after trans people as well, then...
Especially Alabama.
This is just a genocide of a minority group. I don't know what other way to put it. Like, this is just the precursor.
No, that's
the first
their goal.
Steps.
That's what they're trying to do. They're literally trying to purge the country of anyone that's in the LGBTQ+.
Right. Right.
It's fucking insane.
And they'll try to, like, I don't care. I don't care if it happens through fucking legal means. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if they if they go through all of the legal procedures necessary to establish laws that discriminate against people, it's still immoral. I don't care if they use our political systems that currently exist.
If you're even like remotely not a alt-right psychopath, mm-hmm. and you're one of the people that are saying, oh, well, if it's on shaky legal ground, then I guess it kind of makes sense for them. Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. You're cucked. Mm-hmm. You're cucked. The boot is so far up your ass. It's in your throat and it's talking for you. Please yeah. stop.
Our political institutions, our legal institutions aren't there to exist for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they're not found in nature.
Yeah.
They exist to produce good outcomes for us.
Yeah,
and if they're not producing good outcomes, if they're taking people's rights away, there's something wrong with them.
They are fundamentally there to, you know, kind of codify morality, uh-huh. codify general moral standards that we as a society have set up and agreed to live by. And in other cases, they're to make things run more efficiently. Like uh-huh. you can't park here. This is a loading zone, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not doing those things, if they're objectively bad, mm-hmm. if they are causing bad outcomes, they should be gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And I don't care if Republicans go through legal means to set up their legal genocide. It's still morally wrong.
No, yeah, literally.
Like, it's no more, like, a coup is no more legitimate if they change the election laws to benefit them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's still a coup.
Right. Like, it's still a coup that is happening. It doesn't make it any more legitimate that they went through the legal processes. Like, a violent coup, like so we tried to see, or we almost saw on January 6th, or a legal coup where they're changing election laws to benefit them, yeah. is still a coup.
Nah, that's why I can't fucking stand people who are like, oh, well, it's legal, so I can do it.
Right.
It's legal, so I can do it. Oh, that's illegal, so you shouldn't. Shut the fuck up.
Right, it was legal to own people like 200 years ago.
Facts.
Like, I don't want
to
hear it.
There have been plenty of very bad laws mm-hmm. that we've gotten rid of. To think that right now, in this stage of America, we've gotten rid of every single bad law, and there are only good laws that remain, you're beyond cucked.
Silly goofy.
It's insane. Silly goofy, ah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of silly goofy, though.
Oh?
Joe Manchin's back in the headlines.
No shot.
Build Back Better's back in the headlines, so you know Joe Manchin's back in the headlines.
Hey, yo.
So Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden, over the last few months, have renewed a push for Build Back Better.
Okay.
Right. And they were working with Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin seemed to be okay with the idea of doing one more reconciliation bill.
Is this where Joe Manchin came out and said that he would not be for any like climate provision?
Let me get there. So the Build Back Better, the new push for Build Back Better was specifically focused on climate provisions, healthcare costs, and raising taxes on corporations to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, Joe Manchin wanted half of the revenue raised by the bill to go towards reducing the deficit. And Democrats agreed to that if they could get healthcare okay. and climate provisions in. Well, after months of negotiation, I think some department or some governmental office released a report on inflation for the month of June.
It's the 9.1%.
And it was 9.1%. Yeah. And Joe Manchin backed out of supporting anything for Build Back Better. But specifically, he said in a statement, quote, "Today's inflation data illustrates the pain families across the country are feeling as costs continue to rise at a historic rate. 9.1% is cause for serious concern. It's time for us to work together," or skipping a little bit ahead here.
Okay.
"It's time for us to work together to get unnecessary spending under control, produce more energy at home, take more active and serious steps to address this record inflation that now poses a clear and present danger to our economy. No matter what spending aspirations some in Congress may have, it is clear to anyone who visits a grocery store or a gas station that we cannot add any more fuel to this inflation fire."
Dog. It's like the crazy part is like, yeah, 9.1% inflation. That's wild.
Uh-huh.
But you're doing nothing. Uh-huh. My brother in Christ, you are refusing to pass any of the things that would make it better. And then you have the fucking overall right-wing media apparatus, including MSNBC and CNN, because ultimately right-wing organizations, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Publishing headlines like, I'm sure you've all seen the TikToks where they've had to change it. I think NPR specifically published a headline that said, why raising wages for the working class would be bad for inflation, or why keeping wages stagnant will actually help workers out in the long run.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's going to help the middle of the road workers. It's going to help your middle class people, your managerial class, your upper class people.
Right.
But the people on the very bottom, the people that are making this fucking economy run, are only going to feel the hurt uh-huh. no matter what. Always.
Yeah.
Always. Because the inflation's not going to go down.
It's almost as if like we shouldn't let corporations just fucking bleed us dry for all we have anytime we raise wages even a little
bit. It's almost like when you have record profits, there shouldn't be any talk of inflation.
Uh-huh.
Like,
and it's like, the kicker here is that Joe Manchin opted out of almost the entirety of Build Back Better. He opted out of the climate provisions and the tax increases.
Yeah.
He said he could still go for some Medicaid and Medicare negotiating drug prices, but he knows that's going to be knocked down by Kyrsten Sinema. And I think it's so interesting that he opted out of those first two, because those are the two that directly impact him, his donors, and his ability to accumulate wealth. That's why he opted out of those.
The 500,000 because he is owned by the
oil, coal, gas industry.
He owns the oil, coal, gas industry. Like
this is straight up just political and economic corruption. Like, he can't support climate policies and he can't support tax increases, not because he has any like moral opposition to them because of inflation right now, but because it impacts his seat of power, because he needs the oil and gas lobby to get him back reelected in West Virginia.
You know how we shit on like Christian conservatives because they have this fucking psychotic stance that if you're poor, it's because like you deserve it. You must be like morally bad for being poor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Low key is kind of like the other way around though, you know? Like, if you're rich, you're kind of just bad. If you're rich, you shouldn't have a seat of power. You have too many class interests in line that stop you from doing anything that would actually benefit the majority of people in this country.
Yeah, I can't remember. There's those charts that came out like 2 or 3 years ago from some news publication. They did a study to show how well the actions of Congress tracked onto public opinion and how well the actions of Congress tracked onto the opinions of lobbyists.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know, the lines almost match for congressional action with lobbyists.
Who fucking thought?
But when it comes to congressional action and public opinion, it's a flat line. There's almost correlation between public opinion and when Congress people are willing to act. And that's what happens when you mix money and when you mix our politics, is that the people that have more money that are able to get politicians elected, their needs and their interests are favored more than average people.
Yeah.
Or how just, can you expect it can be? How do we have a democracy at that point? How is it not just oligopoly?
It's crazy how so many people enter Congress as just like kind of like regular above average upper class net worths and leave millionaires.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, inflation is going crazy right now. Like, inflation sucks. It is.
It's awful, bro. Gas? That shit hurts.
It's really bad for a lot of people. But Joe Manchin's solution is just do nothing.
Is eat like, it.
Just let working people fucking suffer.
His solution is eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat it, work harder, get a better job.
And it's like, well, at least he's willing to go for Medicare and Medicaid negotiating on drug prices. But first of all, he doesn't have that much of a an economic interest staked in the medical industries. So that's probably why he's, you know, not directly opposed to that, but he also knows that Kyrsten Sinema won't vote for it.
Oh, yeah.
And he also knows that it will not pass. So he doesn't have to take the hit on that one.
That's crazy.
And I want to make a point here, because a lot of political discourse is based on inflation right now. Inflation happens when the cost of production rises and it costs more to get things to market.
Yeah.
That's why inflation happens, because companies got to start charging more because it took them more on the back end and they want to maintain their profit level, right? There's a critique you can have of that system already, but that's generally how inflation works.
Well, it's like there's also just the general critique about inflation is how it's calculated in the first place. You calculate inflation based on a market basket of goods.
Yeah.
So you select goods that are like comparable, right? Like an iPhone today and an iPhone 5 years ago. It's called a market basket. You get a bunch of these different goods and you look at, hey, what was the price of an iPhone then? What is the price of an iPhone now? What is the price of a Honda Civic then? And what is the price of a new Honda Civic now? Obviously not those exact goods, but that's how inflation is calculated.
Right.
Market baskets are always biased. The percent is never actually correct. It's generally around there, but it's never a real number. You have to look at how these things are calculated. You have to look at what's in the market basket, because what are they biasing here when they include these consumer goods? You know what I mean?
And it's like, even beyond that, it's important to look at the reasons why inflation is happening, because it can happen for a number of reasons. Right now it's happening because of supply chain issues, shortages and sanctions and war, pandemic, etc. And demand is generally up because since restrictions in regards to the pandemic have lifted, more people are out working, more people are spending money, so demand is higher. And because of all these issues on the back end, supply is lower generally. However, companies have been mathematically proven to have raised their prices more than to account for their lack in production.
Insane.
They are profiting right now more than ever despite record inflation.
Insane.
That can only mean that they are profiting off the perception that there is inflation right now.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation for it.
They are creating more inflation by profiting off of the general sentiment that inflation exists right now.
Right.
It's wild. They're just driving up the price. It's a fucking game and it's rigged against us.
Yeah. How can it be that we have record inflation, right? Record for the last 40 years, yet companies are profiting more than ever. Yeah. And the Fed is considering raising interest rates on middle class and low class people.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they raised them a month and a half ago. Something like that.
Yeah. Like how can it be that we have record inflation and record profits at the same time? The only explanation is that they have raised the cost of goods more than to account for the extra cost of production.
Yeah.
It is companies profiting off of our perception of inflation. They're lying to you. They're just lying to you. And like, I know this because the chair of the Fed, Jerome Powell, he said that even a 1% increase in interest rates will not lower prices. He said this in a congressional hearing while being questioned by senators. He said it will not lower prices, but what it will do is it will make it harder to invest and start businesses, which means that there'll be less employment opportunities, which means there's a larger pool of unemployed workers, which means wages go down.
No, because he explicitly was talking about how we need to increase the unemployment rate, the natural rate of unemployment, which is another crazy fucking thing that you'll learn about in economics. No, the natural rate of unemployment is what like is somewhat artificially set by organizations like the Fed, things like that, other natural factors that you can't really control. The market, if you will, usually it hovers around like 4%. I think he wants to increase it to 5%.
Yeah.
And usually the idea is that if you're above the natural rate of unemployment, you have inflation. If you're below, you have deflation, which is somehow even worse. Like I remember learning in Econ 101 that deflation is worse. If you have more people employed than the natural rate of unemployment, then money starts to be like worth more again. Some shit like that, you know, Econ 101 stuff. But it's all fucking dumb. It's all fucking dumb and made up.
I think, I mean, on like deflation is usually phrased to be worse or framed as being worse because that typically means that companies,
you can buy more.
That typically means companies are producing more than people are buying. Which means a loss in profits.
Oh, that's right. They're producing more than people are buying. And the companies had also, I think, bought in it when it was more expensive for them relative to now because the dollar is now worth more.
Uh-huh.
It's all fucking bullshit. It's all made up. It's all rigged against you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, rather than restricting the ability for corporations to profit off of these crises, we use things like the Fed to make marginal changes for things like interest rates and just pray that prices will go down while fucking over poor people. Like, why is our only solution to economic catastrophe, impending economic crises, screwing over poor people?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, what's the point? What's the point of building society, building things like the economy, like civilization, if it's not to ensure, one, that everyone can have access to what they need to survive, and two, that poor people aren't being fucked over by people that are wealthier than them?
Yeah, no, because quite literally, the solution in this situation, as admitted by Jerome Powell and the Fed, is to just backload the issue onto the poorest people.
Uh-huh.
It's take the stress off of the middle class and put it on the poor people rather than putting it on the rich people.
Right.
That's what I fuck with.
Like, why? Why is that how our economy is constructed? Because basically right now, what's happening is that the wealthy, everyone that owns corporations, all the, you know, wealthy executives, CEOs, et cetera, they just have a strangled grip on the economy and basically have a gun to everyone's collective head. And they can just say, yeah, we're going to continue to raise prices unless you, you know, increase the unemployed labor pool. That way we can pay people less because more people are going to need a job. People will take lower paying jobs.
Like, if anyone should be getting shit on in a recession, it should be rich people.
Right.
I feel like that's an uncontroversial statement, or at least it should be.
Right.
That shouldn't be a hot take.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it's like, there's this illusion of the free market that the government and corporations want to maintain. But what people seemingly forget is that there are human beings making decisions to raise prices. This isn't the free market. There's not some invisible divine hand coming down and setting these prices, making these regulations up. It is individuals deciding to raise prices more than they need to when accounting for the cost of production.
Just like
they're just increasing prices to fuck you over and to convince people that somehow the unemployed labor pool needs to be increase so they can pay people less.
Just like how your rights aren't God-given, they aren't natural rights. God didn't come down and write down the MSRP on the back of all your consumer goods. It's not a divine writ.
Right. Oh my goodness. Anyway, that's a little bit of economics for you.
Exactly. Obviously, economics isn't totally fake. You know how it is,
right,
but it's a system that was made up, you know?
You know, it's a system.
They do these things to fuck you over. They have more control than they lead you on to believe.
It's a system that humans created that is ran by humans. And
yeah.
the illusion of the free market is one that is maintained to make it seem as though people have choice and people have an ability to climb within that free market.
Exactly.
When in reality, the free market can be manipulated and twisted by those that have more power to do so. And those that have more power to do so are government officials and the wealthy.
Motherfuckers talk about the invisible hand. They teach you about the invisible hand because it absolves them of any responsibility.
Yes, yes.
Because when they raise prices, it's, oh, the market determined that I raised these prices.
Uh-huh.
It's not me making a conscious choice to do this to... What I should be doing is maintaining profit margins. It's the market's actually making me go way above my previous profit margins and get record profits. But it was the market. It wasn't me.
And like, there's already a thing to critique there when it comes to, okay, there's inflation, meaning cost of production is up. Why is it that you need to maintain profit margins, and that means that consumers get fucked over in the process?
Yeah.
Why can't you take a hit to your profits in order to get through this time of inflation, and then you can increase your profit margin again?
Fucking dumb.
They already try to like maintain their profit margin, but today what they're doing is expanding their profit margin at the expense of literally everybody.
It's all a ruse.
And then you have oil executives, like the people like the CEO of ExxonMobil on fucking Fox Business talking about how they're not going to increase domestic oil production because they're just going to maintain their current levels.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, how can Republicans or
conservatives... Making the conscious decision.
Right. How can Republicans, conservatives even argue that inflation is in any way Joe Biden's fault when it's the wealthy having a strangle grip on the economy and not doing anything about it? And like, the Fed can't do anything about it either.
All these,
except screw you over.
All these corny fucking dads taking pictures of their gas, like at the pump, taking pictures of the prices, saying, F you, Joe, putting the I did that sticker on there. Shut the fuck up.
Right. Right. Like, I'm all for blaming our elected officials when they do something
wrong.
I'm
all for shitting on them.
But why, I don't know why nobody feels the need to blame people that are sitting at the top of these massive fucking corporations that ultimately are the ones that control all of your resources.
Yeah.
Why is it you're okay with critiquing one power structure but not the other?
Exactly.
It's
don't
because
get me wrong.
It's because of the illusion of the free market.
Don't get me wrong. I am all for shitting on our elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
However, that shitting on should be well-deserved because they all deserve it.
Uh-huh.
Every single one of them deserves a little bit of it. It should be accurate so that you kind of get away from possible attacks for disinformation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They've all done bad things that you can shit on them for. There's no need to lie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of a country that is currently shitting on their government.
Yeah, speaking of a country whose citizens have decided that enough is enough.
We're talking about Sri Lanka. In some international news, the citizens of Sri Lanka, after several years of economic downturn, they've decided to overthrow their government.
Insane.
So in Sri Lanka, citizens have been unable to buy gas, food, schools have closed, inflation's at like 50%. The economy's doing bad.
Very bad.
Lots of people are struggling. A big area of revenue for Sri Lanka was tourism, which of course halted during the pandemic. And then the president of Sri Lanka got the country into more economic catastrophe downfall because he took on a bunch of debt from China to do projects that weren't really economic investments.
Excellent.
And so... that got them into a lot of debt, and then they also cut taxes on the rich, so they basically couldn't afford to import anything.
Yeah.
So they were struggling to get food and necessary resources while doing a bunch of vanity projects. And then protests kicked off in April.
Okay.
And more recently, protesters stormed into the president's home, demanding that he resign.
A little bit
which is crazy.
Got in the swimming pool. That shit was hard.
Yeah, which prompted him to flee the country, I think to Singapore, and then he did actually resign pretty recently.
What a dog.
So, mission accomplished. And I think the protesters also, like, lit the prime minister's house on fire.
Hey, yo.
Which is crazy.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. And the PM also resigned, I believe. The goal of the protest was to get the Rajapaksas out of power. Apparently, that's, like, the ruling family for some time now in Sri Lanka.
Oh, it worked. Like a monarchy type of thing?
I think they have, like, quote-unquote democratic system.
So, it's like a dictatorship.
But it's kind of like, you know,
like a North Korea.
Dynasty. Yeah.
A North Korea type B.
Right. I don't think it was a dictatorship.
Yeah,
because he was like the president, but it was like
a family. But, like, neither is North Korea, you know what I mean?
It was like a family dynasty kind of thing.
Okay.
Political dynasty. Okay. But yeah, they got him out of power. So mission successful, I guess.
Good shit.
And the IMF has already stepped in and offered a $3 billion loan.
Hey, yo.
So that's not good.
Hey, yo.
We're going to see some American businesses. You're going to see a fucking Home Depot pop up in Sri Lanka.
You're going to see a Home Depot pop up in Sri Lanka. You're going to see a bunch of shit hop up in, was it Ghana that found like the $300 trillion of gold or some shit?
That's awesome.
You know what I'm talking about? That one African country found a bunch of fucking gold reserves.
That's sweet.
I can't wait for there to be a political corruption found out there, you know, and we got to step in and help.
Yeah, bro, we gotta step in and acquire some gold for ourselves.
Holy shit, oh my god, turns out that as soon as you guys found out this gold, a report just came out that said one of your officials was in bed with somebody else. We gotta do something.
Oh, holy shit.
We gotta step in and we're gonna...
Turns out the pipes in Flint were actually bad because of Ghana.
Exactly. Guys, we gotta go get them. Oh, fuck, guys. And as payment for us doing this really noble act, we're gonna sit on these gold mines for y'all.
Yeah,
we'll hold this so nobody else does anything.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because you know, a lot of people are gonna want these, so we're gonna go in and we're gonna guard them for you. We're gonna look out.
We're also now hiring children to work gold mines, by the way. So if you need a job,
we're just looking out for them for you. You know,
we're providing economic opportunity,
and then nobody else can come in and do anything.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean? We're helping.
Exactly.
We're helping.
Anyway, I bring up this story because one, I think it's fucking crazy that other countries are just fucking occupying their presidents.
They're doing it.
That's crazy. But it's also, I just think it's so strange how other countries react to like economic downfall and economic crises and how they just like immediately are like, yeah, you got to go, dog.
Yeah. They're like unified, marching in the street, protesting like way bigger protests than we get when there's a recession.
And like,
we got Occupy Wall Street in 2008.
Right.
The Great Recession. That's all we got. Mm-hmm. Occupy Wall Street. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
They fucking popped champagne over the protesters down because Obama just bailed them out.
Uh-huh.
Insane.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like this kind of thing just couldn't happen in America because we're so ununified.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, we're so fucking just disconnected from each other. Like, half the country doesn't believe that climate change is real. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we can't accurately, together, in unison, identify the causes of our problems, how could we ever do something like overthrow the government?
We're just so fucking individualistic. I was thinking about this on the highway today.
Yeah.
I was driving home from my girlfriend's, right? And it's a 2-lane highway, and the fucking left lane turned out was closed ahead, about to have traffic. If everyone would just get over into the right lane, when they see that 3 miles ahead, the left lane is going to be closed, you wouldn't have traffic.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to worry about it. But instead, every single motherfucker is trying to race up the left lane and cut off everyone who's already in the right lane. Mm-hmm. I was fucking pissed. I was festering this morning. I was stuck in traffic for 20 minutes.
I hate car-centered infrastructure.
On God, on US 23, because motherfuckers couldn't just get over. Mm-hmm. Couldn't just get over when they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. You wouldn't have fucking traffic. Traffic, it's a man-made issue. It's because you're so fucking selfish.
Yeah. Like, we could all drive 70 right on this single lane.
We could. We literally fucking could, because everybody's going 70 once you're funneled in there. Mm-hmm. It's just getting funneled. Just get over. Just fucking get over. Mm-hmm. Please. I'm begging. I'm personally begging right now.
Yeah. Similarly, stop watching Fox News and accept that we have some economic issues to solve, and it seems like our government doesn't want to do that.
If everybody stopped watching Fox News like a little bit less, you'd see traffic go down like proportionally.
Oh,
you
true.
You know what I mean?
Like, there's a direct causation between
the two. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Traffic
definitely
is proportional to Fox News watchers.
Well, we got one more set of stories here.
Jesus Christ. An insane set of stories.
We've got some a section of Beyond Parody for you all. Yeah. We're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Beyond Parody Part 2. Before we get into the two main stories I want to talk about, though, I want to bring up some other just crazy stories that were found throughout the week that I didn't find a place for in the show. First one, Jill Biden at a Latinx celebration compared Hispanic people to tacos in a speech, saying that they are as unique as breakfast tacos.
That shit was so funny. That is crazy. That is crazy. How do you think that's okay? Like,
yeah.
And what was even crazier about her actually just being racist on stage was how whenever a Democrat does something like this, it's the only time that conservatives are ever funny. Like,
right.
All the conservatives tweeting out the picture of the breakfast Doritos, that shit was funny. That actually made me laugh. Only time they could ever do that, though.
Right. It's like conservatives say this while also vehemently hating Mexican immigrants.
Oh, yeah. While just being explicitly way more racist.
Right. Like Jill Biden, Jill Biden did a racism, right?
She did a racism.
Like she did. It was a very bad
thing
to say.
Boy, did she do a racism.
Certainly should not have said that. But Republicans just on Fox News will mask off, say like, brown people coming across the border are going to rape your kids.
Oh, Republicans on Fox News will say, actually, guys, don't focus about how we just took away this 10-year-old's right to get an abortion. It was actually an immigrant.
Mm-hmm. That's all that they do. Anyway, that was not a good look for Jill Biden.
Mm-mm.
I don't understand how Democrats keep doing this. You know what I mean? And then apparently Joe Biden went on to like mispronounce bodegas when he was like giving an apology.
Kidding. You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In some other out of pocket Beyond Parody news, footage from the Uvalde shooting dropped of the police officers.
insane.
And in the footage, said there was a little disclaimer that said the sound of children screaming has been removed.
Wild.
So
uniquely
that's
American.
Mm-hmm.
Uniquely American one.
Yeah, and then there was, in that footage, there was a cop with the Punisher background
on his
phone.
Like,
that was the American flag Punisher.
Three cops had, like, busted in. It's, like, 5 minutes going. Mm-hmm. They think it's, like, before they heard him fire 11 shots at, you know, fucking kids. Mm-hmm. Dude checks his phone. The Punisher logo. Mm-hmm. American flag draped where the white of the skull is supposed to be. You gotta be fucking kidding me. You literally can't make that shit up. You literally can't make... That's, like, something that'd be in Don't Look Up. Corny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so perfect.
What?
Like,
what?
It's almost... It seems too fictional to be real.
Like, the Punisher. Punisher. Dog, you're right there. You got an opportunity. You like, got a fucking opportunity.
It seems like something that would happen in an episode of Veep.
Yeah.
But it literally happened.
Something that'd be corny in an episode of Veep.
Right.
Something that I would think shouldn't be an episode of Veep. Too much. Too on the nose.
Right. It was just like police officers hiding behind brick walls while they're fully armored, looking like a standing military, doing nothing while children are being
police
shot
officers
and screaming.
Hiding behind kids. No, it's crazy because I think like there were like something like 25 fucking cops that were eventually just standing in the hallway, mm-hmm. fucking waiting for something to happen while gunshots and children are screaming mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. background, fucking screaming their lungs out.
Mm-hmm.
And these cops are just sitting there decked out like they're about to breach a fucking building in fucking Afghanistan.
But they didn't.
But they, of course.
Because they're scared.
Of course they didn't.
They were
scared. And it's like, I found this one article. We'll link it in the description. It's sort of a minute-by-minute timeline of everything that's going on. And right. I was reading through it this morning, right? And it's talking about dialogue heard directly on, like, their body cams that they obtained and they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And for, like, 40 minutes, they're talking about how, oh, we need to go get this, like, crowbar so we can breach the room. All right, somebody go get that. Somebody go do this. All right, we should go in. No, actually, we have to wait for orders. And then for, like, 30 minutes, they're talking about, well, let's get keys. Oh, that's not the right key. Let's get another key. That's not the right key either. Let's go get this other set of keys. And then the very last paragraph in the fucking timeline, 12:50 p.m., officers breach the classroom and fatally shoot Ramos. According to surveillance footage, McCraw, I think that's the police chief.
Okay.
Right? McCraw said on May 27th that they breached the door using keys they got from the janitor because the door was locked. Then McCraw said on June 21st that it turned out the classroom door could not be locked from the inside by design. And there was no indication officers tried opening it during the standoff. He also said a teacher had reported before the shooting that the lock was broken.
How can we justify spending so many billions of dollars in this country on police just for them to do fucking nothing?
Yeah, and it's like the most insane part about this culturally is that cops and people adjacent to cops, you know, the fucking bootlickers, the boot eaters, all of that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they sit here and demand from the public that we treat police like heroes,
yeah.
that we give them respect. Yet, when these police, the same police that idolize the Punisher to the point where it's their lock screen
uh-huh.
with an American flag uh-huh. in the skull, have an opportunity to do something that the Punisher would do or that a fucking hero would actually do, they wait. They
right.
wait for 30 fucking minutes. They got ballistic shields like 30 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
They got them. They could have busted in then. They could have busted in when it was 3-on-1. The door wasn't fucking locked. They could have done anything, but they stood in the hallway and they sat around and fucking talked. At one point, you can hear two officers joke and laugh
mm-hmm.
while children are screaming in the background.
One of them was smiling.
One of them was smiling and fucking laughing. And the sounds of children screaming are edited out.
By the way, yeah, sound of children screaming while it's all happening.
Editor's note. What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just, it's fucking insane. You would think like a hallmark of being a hero is putting your life on the line to save other people,
yeah.
right? Like the ideology of a hero, I would think, is like, if anyone's going to die first, it's going to be me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to die trying to help these people.
Yeah.
But I feel like for cops, it's absolutely backwards.
Oh, yeah. It's like these kids are going to die right, first while right. I fucking wait.
If anyone's going to die, it's going to be you and I'm going to make it home.
Uh-huh.
Like,
because I have kids and a family to get home
right,
to.
Right, right. And like, that's always right. Like, how is that the ideology of a hero?
Yeah.
Like, you aren't saving anybody.
Especially when right-wing media demands we treat them like heroes, mm-hmm. demands we talk about them like they're heroes, demands we respect them. Yet, they routinely do things that foster disrespect,
mm-hmm.
that they deservedly should be disrespected for, like this. And now those cops are sitting on paid vacation.
Well, those are bad apples, Gage.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Even the cop subreddit is against these guys.
I saw Steven Crowder was against these guys.
Really, that's crazy.
Principal stance.
That's crazy. When Steven Crowder turns against you, dog, you fucked up.
His house is a boot, dog. That's like, he lives insane. In the boot. He and the boot are one at this point. He's consumed so many boot follicles. He is the
He's
boot.
Made of leather.
Yeah.
Oh, my
when
God.
When Steven Crowder's abandoned you, you know you're in trouble.
The fuck do you do? And they're sitting on paid vacation right now.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
That's, like, the worst part of it. That's the worst part
they're
of it.
They're still taking taxpayer money.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, the people of Uvalde are paying for this.
Maybe conservatives, 40% of their taxes. Maybe conservatives haven't fully lost the ability to recognize when they need to give up on a narrative. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, obviously, they're never going to give up on the Blue Lives Matter rhetoric. They're going to say these guys were just bad apples and they did their job poorly, but at least they're not trying to defend them here.
That's facts. Because
that would make our job way too easy. Holy shit. Could you imagine? Actually, I did see fucking... you might have been the one that told me this, but I think it was like Greg Gutfield was like, well, what if the police officers really were scared? Like, what if they didn't know what was... Like, what if they did have orders to not breach and put themselves at risk?
No, that's the other crazy thing is, like, a lot of them are talking about how, like, oh, we don't know who's in charge. We're just waiting for orders. Isn't the first thing you do when you get on a scene like this is establish a chain of command? Mm-hmm. Isn't that supposed to be one of the first things? Like, what? The fact that I think four different agencies were able to send people to the shooting, it's like the cops that were first on the scene, Broader Uvalde PD, Border Patrol agents, and then a specialized unit of Border Patrol were all there.
Yeah.
And it took, like, 15 of them to bust into this classroom to kill this one fucking kid? You're kidding. You're kidding.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Our boys in blue, though, absolute heroes.
Back to blue, baby. They got a really tough job. They had to sit there and listen to those kids screaming. That's tough. Oh,
that's horrifying. That's bro, they're so traumatized.
That's scary.
Uh-huh.
That's scary. Another thing I read in this timeline, which again will be linked in the description, is that kids in the fucking classroom were calling police. They were trying to call 911 multiple times, like five different times were kids trying to call the cops. Just nothing. Like, the cops are there.
And then at one point you got the cop that's like, call out if you can hear me.
Yep.
And then the girl
gets
shot right afterwards.
It's insane. So. It's insane. It's like everyone was talking about like, ayo, what if they're not releasing the footage because one of the cops shot a kid? This is literally like almost as bad.
Yeah.
Like everything that has transpired has almost been as bad as if a cop would have almost shot a fucking kid.
Laughing in the hallway, dog.
Insane.
Behind like two concrete walls while you're fully armored while kids who are defenseless are sitting in their classroom.
Well, you got ballistic shields.
Uh-huh.
I can't fathom it.
How can you be such a coward? Like, you signed up for it. Even if you were, like, I'm sure cops get afraid when, you know, they're on the job. But even if you are reasonably...
people get scared.
Right. Even if you are reasonably afraid, didn't you fucking sign up for this knowing full well that you might die on duty, in the line of duty one day?
Exactly.
That's not even to mention that, like, being a cop isn't that dangerous of a job.
Oh,
cops
not at
don't
all.
Don't die by gunshots that often in the line of duty.
More cops have died from COVID.
From COVID.
Than from gunshots this year. And, like...
Yeah.
Whew.
Anyway, that was just a side plot in today's Beyond Parody section.
Yeah,
another just brief thing before we get into the actual section of Beyond Parody. Did you see that AOC got harassed on Capitol Hill by some fucking heckler?
No.
She was just walking up like 2 days ago onto Capitol Hill, just wearing typical fucking congresswoman attire.
Yeah.
And this dude was basically catcalling her because he was pro-life and he's mad that she's pro-choice.
That, wow, what a great way
said
to...
something about her figure, saying, you know, just obscene things that I will not repeat.
What the fuck, dog? What a great way to just, you know, get your point, do activism.
Yeah.
Catcall women.
And then I saw conservatives trying to make the point that it's like, wow, you're okay with people protesting out, or no, they said, you're okay with people harassing Brett Kavanaugh, but when people harass AOC, it's not okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, first of all, Brett Kavanaugh sucks, and he's taking people's rights away. Second of all, people were protesting Brett Kavanaugh's decision. This guy was verbally harassing a congresswoman for what she was wearing.
Yeah.
I think there's a real difference here.
Like, even, like, just going to adjacent things, when people were doing the thing where they were, like, watching Brett Kavanaugh's weight, that's fucking weird.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can say that's fucking weird. When you're posting pictures of him, calling him fat, and looking like, oh, looks like, that's weird. That's not activism.
Like, yeah, I'm all for putting politicians into, like, putting their feet on the fire. You know what I mean?
I'm all for ruthlessly bullying them.
Exactly.
But for the right things, you know what I mean?
But, like, you don't gotta, like, harass them in the way that you're just like, wow, like, look at how you're dressed.
Yeah,
what
that's
is that?
Not
like, that's
activism.
Weird, dog.
Oh, you've gained a little bit of weight today. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, that is... the performance, that is peak performative activism.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
Anyway, getting into the real news stories, though.
Oh, yeah. Getting to the big stuff that happened
our
this
first
week.
Part of Beyond Parody and some wild news. Elon Musk's dad, Errol Musk, had a child with his stepdaughter.
The craziest part about this is when I first saw this story, I had thought that it's like, oh, he remarried later in life, and whoever he remarried had like an adult daughter that he met when she was an adult. Mm-hmm. But no. He had raised her since she was 4.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the family tree is a little weird here. So previously, I think his first marriage, Errol was married to May Musk, which is the mother of Elon
kind
and
of
his
names.
Siblings. And then later on, Errol got remarried to this woman named Heidi.
Yeah.
And she already had a daughter who was, I think, 4 years yep. old named Jana. And then recently it was revealed just a couple days ago that Errol, back in 2017, had a child with his stepdaughter, Jana. So that's kind of crazy.
That shit is fucking insane.
It's weird.
There
like
is
you,
literally
that's grooming.
There. No, it's the definition of grooming. Uh-huh. If you've known someone since they were 4 years old and you ever have any like sexual anything towards them, mm-hmm. that's fucking weird, dog.
Yeah.
That like, should be illegal.
You're a parent figure, my guy.
You're a pedophile. Uh-huh. Like, at that point, you are a pedophile. That is beyond fucked up.
And in his, Errol commented on this situation. He said, quote, "The only thing we are on Earth for is to reproduce. If I could have another child, I would. I can't see any reason not to."
Dog.
That's a pretty, first of all, like, that's a pretty bleak way to look at humanity. You know, like, the only reason we're here is to reproduce. But also, even if you fully believe that, reproduce with your stepdaughter,
yeah,
my
there,
guy?
There's actually man. Many other ways that you could have gone about this. Yeah. Like, you say you only see one. Maybe there's something fucked up about you.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe Elon Musk, maybe Elon Musk needs to do what his kid just recently did to him and fucking disown this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that's fucking, oh my goodness. That is, whew. Anyway, billionaires being weird. But another story in billionaires being weird.
Uh-huh.
Ivana Trump recently died.
That shit was crazy.
Ivana Trump, the mother of Ivanka, Eric Trump, and Don Jr.
Uh-huh.
She passed away a couple of days ago. And immediately after, Donald Trump released a statement on Truth Social.
Oh, God.
Saying that
what
she'll be
say?
Missed. You know, she was a great mother. Always respect her. Yada, yada, uh-huh. yada. And then right after that, that same statement was no. released as a fundraising email.
No shot, bro. No
imagine,
fucking shot.
Imagine fundraising off of the death
that's
of the mother to your
insane.
Children.
That's beyond parody. Like you yeah. can't, make that shit up. Like, even Trump. Oh my goodness.
Like the mother to your kids. You're yeah. fundraising off of her death.
The only fucking parent that loved Don. The yeah. only parent that loved Don Jr. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
Bros, this is his villain origin story. Not that he isn't already a villain.
He's going to be a Democrat now.
Yeah. And then here's a part where I'm kind of confused because I have a quote here. It says, quote, Ivana yeah. Trump, businesswoman and ex-wife of former President Donald Trump, died because of accidental blunt impact injuries to the torso, according to NYC officer of chief medical examiner. They said it was ruled an accident.
Didn't she fall down the stairs?
That's what they said. But I'm a little suspicious
God
of that.
Damn.
Not to like be conspiracy, not to be a conspiracy theorist here, but I don't know. It
I don't
seems
think
a little
so.
Sus.
If she was an old woman and she felt like took a tumble down the stairs, that I think it makes complete sense that blunt force trauma to like the chest and the torso area would fuck her up.
Bro's ruining
she's like,
conspiracy.
She's like
right
80,
now.
Right?
She's you like know? 76 or something.
Yeah, nah. She just got fucked up. She just got packed by
damn,
the stairs.
So you don't think there's any possibility that Eric like fucking shoved her down the stairs
Eric.
Or something? Eric or Don?
I forget.
Fucking
about,
sick of
I always forget about Eric Trump.
Oh, he's the ugliest one. Fucking disgusting. That dude is awful.
I always forget about him. It's only I only ever hear you only ever hear about fucking Don Jr., Ivanka, and what's the one he has with Melania or whatever?
Baron.
What's her name?
Melania.
Melania.
The one he has with the blade of Mikula. No, it's like Oh, then you also hear about Jared Kushner all the time. Too,
oh yeah, but that's
kid.
That's the step that's yeah. the step kid. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. Anyway, that's
what
some,
does Ivanka see in him?
I don't know, dog.
He seems like the fucking middest dude ever.
I know, like, I know. Well, I mean, she's also a pretty terrible human.
That's
being.
True. I mean, I'm sorry, Jared did bring peace to the Middle East. So
that's true. Abraham Accords literally brought peace to the Middle East. But none of the Trump kids can ever compare to Hunter Biden.
Oh my
that
God.
That guy
no.
is an absolute demon.
That shit is crazy. The fucking videos he took, wild. Mm-hmm. That if you put Deftones music over it, it'd just be like a music video.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Like, also probably a bad person, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, shit is awful. Things here do he does is awful all the time.
But, like, all of them, well, they're all the same person, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially, like, him and Eric Trump are the same person.
And Don Jr.
Yeah, and, like, they're, oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Don Jr. wishes he could.
Him and Don Jr. are the same person, you know, insecure about their masculinity, feel like they're not really loved by their dad or any of their parent figures, stuff like that. But, like, Don Jr. really tries to be cool, but he can't. Uh-huh. Hunter Biden is just so fucking
Hunter
cool.
Biden tries to lay low, but all he can do is just have cool things leaked in the media.
All he can ever do is fucking record himself beating it.
Oh my God, bro. All he can ever do is just talk about how he was scraping through his fucking carpet and smoking Parmesan cheese.
Oh, this dude just like can't help but put himself on video. You know what I mean? Like, stop like, dog, this keeps happening because you will not stop recording yourself.
He has so many fucking videos that have leaked to the press where it's like, one, there's got to be so many more if these are just the ones that are leaked. And two, it's like, there's no way you're watching all these back.
Right. Why do you have them, my guy? Like, what purpose do they serve other than making cool music videos?
Got it. No, literally. Literally. And it's like, oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Anyway, I think that wraps it up for today's episode. Hope the loaded episode is entertaining.
Hope
so. We got a lot to talk about
today. Lots of different news today.
Lots of different news. But before we go, we got to give a special thanks to the people that make it possible for us.
The angel investors.
They are our oil industry if we were Joe Manchin.
Oh, yeah.
We got to thank our patrons for allowing us to have our seat of power.
Exactly.
So special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Kid and Kraut, Lord T, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, John G, The B Plot, Omar Zuno, Clayton Lafort, Ash Fairblood, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B, Satan's Menstrual Cycle, The Mind Sculptors, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer, Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Milkman, LOL's Yo, Jim Egbers, and my mom.
What a fantastic list of people who have objectively right opinions. You know what I'm saying?
A fucking insane crew.
God.
Insane crew. Thank you all for supporting us on Patreon. If you want to have your name amongst those people, go to the Patreon.
You know exactly what to
do. If you want to buy some Head in the Office merch, we've got 6 pieces of merch available for you to buy. You could buy the whole collection.
Hey,
headintheoffice.com. Go check it out. Link will be in the description. And thanks for listening.
Have a great one.